Yes.
Okay, good evening. Happy Valley City Council Work Session for January 15th, 2019. Come to order. The meeting agenda tonight, does anybody have any questions, clarification, anything on anything coming up?
Only question, I do have one question.
Okay. Councilor Sherman?
Question was about on the annexation, the properties annexation. They all looked really kind of straightforward and made a lot of sense. There was one property that's like on the river and seemed to be quite a ways away from the city boundary. Just got a story on that one?
Apparently, the individual wanted to annex the city and do some development on their property. Not much more than that. I'll tell you internally that staff has been talking, and I talked with mayor about it, that as part of your council project priorities in March, we're going to add a project there of an annexation policy. I think through the years, I've heard enough concern from the council about cherry stems. So I think it would be good to have conditions where we would encourage people to annex and maybe discourage people to annex to kind of get away from the cherry stem. Unfortunately, with the cherry stems, we take the roads and the liabilities, and we're really not seeing people latch on and annex that much. But as far as I know, I asked staff about that very same one. I looked at that, I was like, really, why are they annexing all the way down the river? And it was, you know, wanting to annex and build in the city.
Yep, and I think my thought on that, or just in looking at it, just the placement of it was interesting because it's kind of in that industrial area, and there's like a big pit on one side, and it seemed like it was just a really weird kind of jiggity-jaggity road to get down to it. So, okay, well, I think that's just good to know as we move forward. Thank you.
Okay, anything else? Just briefly, the oath tonight, it'll be Brett and Markley, and then me, and then we'll take a break and go back to business. So, quick. That's all I have. Mr. Tuck.
Thank you. Good evening. So, first item here on the work session is Veterans Memorial. This topic came up from former Mayor Dreamer talking with the local veterans at the New Seasons, and then it came back to council, and council said, yeah, let's look into a some sort of memorial plaza. So we put together a group of the Arts Committee, Parks Committee, local veterans, and came up with a concept plan and the materials you see in your packet. They also came up with some goals and objectives that are good to look at as we move forward or not. The project as designed can be built in phases or components, so that is good that we can be flexible. Let's say if we don't want to allocate the funds for the whole thing right now, we can do a component of it and then add to it as funds become available and it becomes a priority. So the costs range anywhere from $143,000 to $258,000. We are looking at some grant opportunities. Chris can talk a little bit more about that. We did receive a $5,000 grant from the Oregon Realtors Association. And then we applied for a grant last year through the Oregon Parks and Rec. Did not get the grant, but were given ideas on how to be more competitive the next time. So I'll turn it over to Mr. Randall, and he can go through the rest of the presentation.
Yeah, thank you, Manager Tuck. So that was 2016. We got that direction from council. In 2017, we worked on it from January to June. The group that was put together was a couple members from the Arts Committee, a member from the Parks Advisory Committee, and then five different local veterans that helped us through the process. So if you want to go to page 11, I'll run through just a quick PowerPoint for you guys so you can kind of understand what was going on there. Now, this PowerPoint was intended to be a tool for us to go out and seek grant funding with, but it'll kind of frame what was going on. So pages, what we knew when we started the project is we knew we had the labyrinth, and we knew that fertile ground had helped us with the labyrinth, and we also knew on page, well, I guess it's 14, that we had a conceptual plan associated with that labyrinth. Now, we had a conceptual plan, but we only built the labyrinth and then a piece of that connection to the parking lot so that we could use that space, because the overall concept plan was fairly expensive to do. So we downsized it and we built what you see out there currently. So we had design objectives. We talked to the group about that. We want to maintain the, you know, the plaza. We want to honor the veterans and so on and so forth. And talked about ways to do that. So on page 16, you can see the site as it exists right now. We took an aerial site, a shot of it. So we knew we had a labyrinth. We had a tree in the center. The labyrinth could be a memorial walk. It could be a walk with veterans, and the tree could dedicate some, or it could be some symbol of peace or wellness or whatever it wanted to be. So we had a couple components. And then ways to introduce meaning. We knew that we could add vertical assets, we could add plantings, we could add landscape, we could add sculptures. So we talked with them about that. The first meeting was more of fact-finding. We gave them information, we let them know what we were kind of thinking about, we let them know where the site was we were considering, encouraged them to go out and walk it and take a look. The second meeting was talking about how we could use the labyrinth to make that happen. So let's put up some, you know, some things. What can we put in there? We can put benches, we can put flagpoles, we can put trees around it. The group was all on board with that. We went ahead and kind of put some of that on paper, came back, and they said, well, this is a great concept plan, but we don't think it holds its space on its own. And I'm like, well, that's interesting, on its own. So what their idea was as a group is they want to be able to walk into the Veterans Memorial component of that space and walk back out just to see the Veterans Memorial. If they want to continue through and do a walk in the labyrinth, they can do a walk in the labyrinth, but they don't have to do those things together in one spot. They wanted to do them separately. So we kind of went down that path. I originally thought, well, the labyrinth site, just the labyrinth as it exists, was a prime location, but they're like, well, it'd be nice to add to that. So on page 18, you can see what it morphed into as we move forward. So that's kind of the design. The key elements there again, the flagpoles and trees on the next one on page 19. An armed forces bench. Everybody agreed that the benches for each individual branch was a great idea, right by their flag. We wanted to have an art component, a standalone art piece that you could look at. So on page 21, you can see an example of that. On page 22, you can see what we talked about when it comes to scribing. So we thought, man, any vertical asset that we have, what can we, when we put an inspirational phrase on it, we never talked about what they would be, but we came up with examples of, or could we put in a war memorial timeline? So a timeline on when that happened. So everybody was on board with that. And then could we tie, what kind of landscape could we tie into that? So on page 23, you can see the kind of the vegetative, you know, ideas that we had behind that work. So then another picture of just the overall plan and what it would be like. And then we took it to the next phase or the next step and talked about phasing the project. And Manager Tuck talked about what that would be. So a full concept rendering with sidewalks, connection to the New Seasons area, connection to 162nd, the cost associated with that. And I'm like, well, that's great, but we need to have options. So we downsized it to just a connection to Happy Valley City Hall and a connection to 162nd. And then the limited scope, which is still a connection to 162nd and City Hall, but it doesn't do much of the vegetation and the raised area there. And it is $143,000, but you have to understand that there's hard costs associated with that and soft costs associated with that. So whether it's a hard cost like concrete or soft cost like vegetation and plantings that we could potentially outsource or do ourselves for a cheaper price. Where we are today is we're in the process. So Manager Tuck also mentioned that we got a letter back after we applied for the last grant. It was a handwritten letter. It was nice that they did that. And they said our project is a very viable project. They encourage us to apply next year, which is this year right now, and we have full intents to do that. The only information they would like to see on the documents into the future was a better budget and some formal design work done. So they'd like to see it more shovel ready, per se. So that's the effort that we're doing currently right now, is trying to get that design work done so that we can bid the project right after we get the grant and construct it. So we know that we have a state grant looming. We've got other grant opportunities right now, and the veterans group that was involved in this is like ready to go tomorrow and strike and start collecting money and trying to get some funds for us as well. They just don't want to collect money, and I've held them off on that and then not have something to plug that money into. We want to have a viable project. So If those three groups come together and then we can tap into the city's general fund for the remainder, I think that the project is something that we can do. Now, to what extent, what phase of the project, it all depends on, you know, how much money we try to, you know, glean off the local community and what we can get through the grant process. But I think it's feasible, it's doable, and it's manageable. And I think, I mean, just the grant, the state park grant that we're going after is over half the funding of the lower cost scenario here. So that's kind of where we're at. I don't know if you have any questions. Manager Bryant was there as well. He went through some of those design charrettes with us. And I can answer any questions, but that's what I can recall from 2 years ago when we worked on it.
Councilor Sherman, question?
Just want to clarify. So the three levels from limited scope through partial, those are not mutually exclusive, correct? So each one is a step toward the next?
Yep.
Exactly. Are there any benefits to doing, you know, more at a single point in time? I mean, if you do step one, step two, step three, does it ultimately cost us more in the long run because you're bringing in equipment and people? And how do we gauge that as we make a decision?
You're exactly right. Any of the hardscape, so if you're talking trails, you're talking connections to sidewalks, it's really ADA ramps or whatever, that work is always better on a grander scale. So if we can do that, the landscape stuff is the more feasible component of that. The artwork there, another feasible as money is available for us. So I would say that, yeah, you're exactly right, Councilor Sherman. The fact that we could maybe do less of one even on the limited scope and do more of others depending on how we wanted to spend those dollars. But it's yeah.
Okay, so yeah, so if the hard costs are scalable, then maybe the sidewalk layout for full park implementation is executed while we do only the plantings for limiters and like that.
Right.
Okay.
Right. And then you can always, you know, revert back to, okay, we don't want asphalt, we don't want concrete at this time. We need the base there. We need a gravel path through here. So those are other options too that you can deal with your hard costs. So
okay.
There's many options when it comes to this plan. It's just, like I said, it was surprising to me, not surprising, understandably surprising, I guess, the fact that the Veterans Memorial Group, the group that we put together with veterans, they want it to hold its space. They want it to be its own, almost. The labyrinth being there is a great asset. They love the idea, but they didn't want it to be the only piece of it, and they didn't want it to intermingle. So mm-hmm. That's why we went the way we went. Manager Bryant, would you say that was kind of the consensus of the group?
Yep.
Please. Do we have any kind of a time frame on this?
Yeah, the time frame, I would love to do it this year. It really is all based on grant funding. I was hoping that I could get, once I get that grant and secure it in a year, let's say we have to apply for 3 years consecutively, I believe we're going to be successful in a 3-year window. I think maybe this year even, but next year for sure, because there's how many Veterans Memorials does the state do, you know, in an average year? So we will eventually get funding. And once we do get funding, I think that, I mean, it's a project that'll happen that year that we get the funding. It's just when will we get that funding? Unless City Council would say, yes, the general fund can support this right off the bat, we can always move forward. But I think the desire is to have us work on our end to try to secure more funding.
Councilor Drake.
So when you talk about getting the grant, who exactly are you getting the grant from?
It's Oregon State Parks. Is one
Oregon
of the,
State Parks?
Yep. And then we have other options through the county, maybe Manager Tuck, you can speak to that a little bit through you and Director Campbell were talking about using resources.
So the tourism?
Yes, that's what I was.
So we're allocated $20,000 a year to, and then we put it out for people to apply to receive the grants. We could grant it to ourselves for this project. And I think it would be people go around to visit these types of memorials, so I think it could have a good connection there.
And one question, follow up. When you're talking about
Greg, go ahead.
Time frame, when is the grant application due?
So the grant application moved up this year to February. It was April last year, so we're on a time crunch right now to get that ready. We won't have the design completely done, the more formal design, but I'm going to go forward and ask for the money again just with more information as best we have available. And so, but it'll be, let's say if they, in February we apply, we know 2 months later, we're gonna be middle of summer before we get that information, and then we have a year to expend that money. That's the way it'll work.
So. Councilor Goldby? Yes,
sir. You said that the grant would, if I heard it correctly, would meet
roughly half of the cost.
But fund over.
Again, of which of these three options?
The lower of the two.
The lower, okay.
The max grant request is $80,000, and that was what we're going for every time. And so then another thing you have to think about when they do the grant cycles, sometimes they do fund smaller, several smaller grants, sometimes they do bigger grants, so the 80, because there's only so much of a pie. But the 80 is max, and that's what we're applying for each year.
And each year you can apply for that?
Yep.
Thank you.
Okay, anybody else? Councilor Sherman?
And I guess maybe just one question. So my assumption would be then, if we didn't get the grant in year one, but we chose to move forward with it, we kind of give up the opportunity for future grants, right? Because they're not going to give us a grant, but just the plannings around it, it's going to be the projects. That's kind of the conundrum, right? You're hoping to have that money to help in the process. Okay, that's good.
Where the tourism grant comes up every year, so that may be an opportunity in the future. We never know.
All right.
Okay, anyone else? Thank you, Mr. Randall.
Oh, thank you.
Uh-oh.
Guys, it's the chair. Yeah, sorry. I'm Brett Newax. I live in the community here, and you know, I was looking at this stuff online. In fact, I'll stand by behind you because I think you're taking notes, aren't you?
Mm-hmm.
So you don't have to turn around and stuff. Great idea. I know a lot of cities that do this. I've seen quite a few of them and stuff. Being a veteran myself, you know, it's always an honor when you know people put these things you know together. But also, you know, it's kind of one of those things where it's sometimes veterans, and I'm just kind of speaking, I don't know how many of you guys are veterans and stuff like that. You're in the Coast Guard, right? I read your bio. I've been in for 28 years. I just retired. So, you know, we as veterans, we enjoy this stuff. Sometimes we kind of feel like we're put way too high on pedestal sometimes. I don't know if you guys can understand that. I know it's a lot of money to put something like this together. So just curious, and I'm kind of speaking on both sides here and stuff, but after like the initial ceremony, what is the plans for this? Do you plan on having like a ton of people walk through this, or is it just going to be kind of another display that stays vacant for years and years? I mean, what is there plans for like ceremonies for these things, or what's the idea behind it? I guess I wasn't a part of the initial 2 years.
I can respond to
that. Go ahead, Councilor.
So I'm on the both Parks Advisory Committee, the liaison to that group, and also Public Arts. And one of the considerations for installations like that is we also have a walkable sculpture garden here at the area.
Mm-hmm.
We're tying that into paths over to like the retail areas, and we're trying to make this much more kind of walkable downtown core. And so that's going to be one of the, or the, you know, the vision would be, that's one of the features of this kind of new walkable downtown core that people will see as part of the city's personality on a regular basis. Trying to build, you know, build more of a feeling of community here in the area. So that was kind of how that placement and the concept of it came to be initially. So, but definitely, you know, appreciate the feedback, and I think that's a great question is, you know, when we do these things like our sculpture garden, what do we do with it at that point? And the sculpture garden is a great example. We do have an annual event out there. We have, you know, walking tours here in the city. We host monthly hikes here in the area that take and kind of do all these areas and walk people around them. So there is some interaction with it.
And is there names associated with this? Are you going to put individuals like, can I buy a brick or something like that?
No,
like
they
are you offering?
they decided to not do that. We talked about that quite extensively, and the idea was the influx of people in and out of our community trying to keep that current was very tricky. So we decided that we would make it more neutral and honor everyone. That's the idea.
So the only distinguishing difference between a regular park and something like this is the flags? Is that what we're kind of looking
flags,
at?
Flags, benches, and the artwork that will be associated with it, yes.
Mr. Bryant, you want to say, what was your name, sir?
Brett Duex.
Okay. Normally we don't take questions during the work session, but you got up to start talking, and you're a citizen, so we're okay talking to you right now. Mr. Bryant would like to say something.
The only other information I would add to this, it's been a couple years since we had the meeting, so my memory of all the conversations is a little bit foggy, but I do remember some conversations amongst the group about doing some events on, so Veterans Day, utilizing this space for Veterans Day and other
Tying the Boy Scouts into it.
Boy Scouts.
We have the annual tree lighting where everybody gathers at this annually. So there's activity that would be had there, I believe, and more activity than we see currently.
So I will say, you guys have an advantage in Happy Valley here. You guys know who the Adjutant General of Oregon is? General Stencil? He lives in Happy Valley. I don't know if you knew that.
Yes.
But,
I do know that.
Yeah, he's a big wig. But I used to work with him when he was out at the base and stuff like that. So, you got that going.
Well, I appreciate you coming in and expressing that. You know, you're free to come in front of the council. We have a period of time where you can talk about anything you want to talk about. Or you can submit some written questions, and we'd be glad to get back to you on any of this.
Well, my apologies.
Oh, no, that's fine. That's fine. No, we want to hear it, so you're good.
And I have one more thing.
Okay.
And since we're going interactive here, if you have any ideas, send them to us.
Right.
What's the next meeting?
What's that?
What's the next meeting?
We haven't scheduled one yet. I think the direction I'm hearing from the council is to apply for the grant and then kind of start refining exactly what we're going to do there. So there's some opportunity. If we need to have another council meeting to discuss any other ideas, we can do that.
Question? Brett Sherman, do we have, I know Parks Advisory just got a meeting scheduled. Is this on the docket for that as well?
No, it hasn't, because they've seen it already.
Oh, gotcha, okay.
Arts and Parks have seen it a year ago.
Okay, good, just wanted to make sure.
So everybody knows what the plan is. And yeah, please reach out to me if you have any ideas. That's great. I know once we have a shovel-ready project with some funding on the backside, the veterans community is very eager to go out and help. So you may see a meeting come after we secure some grant funding.
Okay, anything else? Thank you, sir, for coming in.
Thank you.
Speaking. Mr. Tuck.
Yes, next item is city councilor appointment process. You're all very aware that Mayor Ellis was elected mayor. And with that comes the vacancy of council position number 4. That seat is now vacant. So we have proposed in the packet a selection process, and essentially it's this. We'll open the process tomorrow. We'll post it online, Facebook. Keep it open until February 1st. There will be an application with a number of questions that are in your packet material, so if you have any feedback on those questions. That will then close on February 1st. All the applications will come to me. I'll send them out to the counselors. You will rank them individually. We will talk on February 19th about who out of that group that you want to interview. What's that?
February 5th.
Oh, February 5th. February 5th. Then February 19th would be interviews and work session. And then hopefully a selection and appointment on March 5th during the regular. So there's some other, you know, more details about that in the packet materials, but essentially it's a fairly quick timeline, and if you would like, we'll start it tomorrow and see who applies.
Anybody have any questions? Councilor Golovey.
In the event that we don't all agree, what happens after that?
Then there is no counselor. The charter is very clear that a counselor gets appointed by the council when there is a vacancy. It does not say, and if not a vacancy, then it goes to a special election or anything like that. And I ran this by the attorney just to be clear, and so you'd have a vacant seat until for another year, either another appointment process or until that term's up.
Okay, any other questions, comments, anything?
No? Wait a minute.
Councilor Drake?
So this list of questions, is there any thought to add anything other, did you list the requirements out? In other words, they have to have lived in the city for a year, that kind of stuff?
That will be on the application.
Okay, so you list all those
yep.
requirements, whatever those requirements are.
Live in the year, be a registered voter.
And so we've set up February 19th for interview of candidates. Is there going to be any requirement that they have to be interviewed, or can they submit an application and not be interviewed?
The process is entirely up to the council, so.
So I'm throwing that out there, I guess that is a question.
I'll welcome any feedback to modifications to this process that you may have, whatever you want to do.
In my opinion, if we're going to do interviews, then we need to interview everybody, so everybody's on a level playing field.
Okay.
Thoughts? Councilor Sherman?
I mean, I think that, you know, I don't think we need to make the interview mandatory, but if someone opts not to be interviewed by the council for this process, that's probably a pretty strong message. So, you know, I don't know if we need to say you have to be interviewed. You know, if somebody wants to put in an application and for whatever reason they can't make it on that day for an interview and they, you know, they rose to the top and we want to consider them, I wouldn't want to exclude them because they couldn't make it to that meeting, even though we probably would have, that would be a pretty strong.
So you're saying we would just go by the resume or the questionnaire we have?
I mean, but you know, I'm not saying that I foresee that happening, but rather than having it be, you know, you need to be done this day and if you're not, we're not even going to consider you. If we narrow it down to a list, the list is a quality list of individuals. We say that interview date's on the 19th, and that one of the people says, I just can't make that date for whatever reason. You know, I guess the question I would pose to the group is, do we need to make that a mandatory thing?
Is everybody okay with not making it mandatory? Everybody? Okay, so that's the way we'll do it. So if they can't make it on our interview day, we'll go by the material we have, and skip the interview process on that particular candidate. Does that sound reasonable to you?
Yeah, that's fine. Again, this is your process. So,
right,
whatever you feel comfortable to going through, reviewing, if you have enough information to make that decision, then that's great. You get to make that decision.
Okay.
There is no set way that you have to do this and select criteria and check marks and that sort of thing. You have to open it up, get applications, review them, and select somebody.
I think this interview process that we have here is very similar to when I was appointed 8 years ago. So I think we've just kind of taken that, and to me, I mean, it's been a long time, but it sounds very similar to when I went through it. You know, it got narrowed down, and then had interviews, and they picked one. So I think we're pretty close to what we did there. Take your point about they don't have to be here. That seems reasonable to me. Councilor Drake, did you have something?
Yes. Excuse me. In the past, we've gone through a process. If we get a large number of applications, we kind of set a bar and say, below that bar, we're not going to consider those people to the next step. And in the past, that has been if they've served on a committee or not served on a committee for the city. So if they hadn't served on a committee, those people were dropped out of the process. And obviously, if we get six applicants or three, we don't need to go through that process. So I'm just going to throw that on the table. If we get 20 or 30 applications, do we want to go through that process? Because otherwise, you're going to be interviewing 30 people, and that's going to take you several hours.
Councilor Golden?
Having not been here when you did that process before, was it strictly Happy Valley committees, or was it open to committees, say, at the county level or at the state level, which would show that they have prior governmental experience in working with them?
Correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe the bar was government experience, not necessarily just Happy Valley. But
I wanted to clarify, because when you
experience.
Say committees, it almost felt like we were suggesting only people who have served on committees in Happy Valley, and if we're going to set a bar, I don't want to limit us to people who are only serving.
Right, and in my opinion, and you guys can chime in here, government experience is government experience. I would be okay with somebody that had government experience. It doesn't have to generally be in Happy Valley. If you have differences of opinion on that, let's talk about it.
Well, I don't have a difference of opinion. Go ahead.
Councilor Sherman?
Yeah, no, I guess my thought on this would be, you know, Could we look at the number of applicants and the status of those applicants initially before even coming up with what those hurdles might be? You know, we may end up with a lot of applicants and we're able to take a look at them and say, you know what, we'd like to interview these five and we're done. And you know, again, I'm trying not to like artificially eliminate some
right,
before we even know what the playing field looks like.
Great.
But I think considering that as a possible benchmark that could be applied, sure, I think that's a reasonable benchmark, potentially.
And that's what we, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
That's what we did before, and I thought it was just city committees, because it showed an interest in the city. But it could be anything. All I'm saying is if we get a bunch of applications, we have some way to maybe reduce it down. That's all. Cut it off. And it could be government committees, could be whatever.
Councilor Willoughby.
It may have been an unspoken bar or a bar that you guys spoke just here, but I, as well as Mayor Ellis, applied, and I was not on the committee at that time. And it was not relayed to me that I was thrown out because I wasn't serving on a committee. So
should have been communicated.
I don't, to be honest with you, I don't know exactly what the criteria was back
and it
then.
Could have been the time before that, I mean, yeah.
So,
I've been through a lot of these.
Anything else?
I have one clarification. There was a brief conversation right when we started about interviewing everyone, and I wasn't clear on...
Not mandatory. What we came up with is it's not mandatory that you have to be interviewed.
Okay.
We would just use whatever information we have without the interview process.
But...
Mr.
Are we
Bryant?
Offering an interview to everyone?
No. And correct me again if I'm wrong. We will narrow it down to whatever number we think we need to interview, and we will offer interviews
to
those people, not everyone.
Okay.
But if they can't make it, we will use the literature or application that we have to make our decision. Councilor Sherman?
And I would surmise that being interviewed in front of the council is going to give you a leg up on someone who potentially has either opted not to come for whatever reason or couldn't make it. And that's, I'm not saying that's a good thing or a bad thing, that's just kind of the reality of that. So,
I believe we'll narrow it down to what we think we need to interview, and I don't think there's a set number.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if we think we need to interview 10, fine. If we need to interview 3, that's fine too. Whatever we think we need to do, it's open for us to make a decision on what we think is fair, reasonable, and to make an informed decision. Agreed?
Agreed.
Okay. Anybody have anything else? Are we clear on that?
Yes.
Okay. Is there anything else?
Not on the work session. If you would like, I can do my manager's report now.
Please do that, yes.
In the regular meeting. I do have a few items. I'll pull up my notes here. So council previously gave us authorization to start working on an urban renewal plan. So we've hired a consultant, Elaine Howard. She gave the presentation to the council in work session a few months ago. We put a working group together that is going to consist of Mayor Ellis, Councilor Sherman, Josh Callahan from the Planning Commission, Fred Charlton, Fire District, School District Representative, County Representative Dan Johnson, Shelley Perini, she's a resident, she's on the Pleasant Valley North Carver Comp Plan right now, Ryan Kane or Matt Grady from Graymore, they own property in the East Happy Valley area, property owner, and Jan Kaiser, Vimbino Art Studio, she has a Happy Valley Business Alliance representative, and also a small business owner and a resident. So we're setting off a series of meetings. We're gonna send the invite out the next few days. The first meeting's gonna be on February 6th, it looks like, in the morning. And we'll have 3 total meetings and then updates with the council as we go along. So we have Mayor Ellis and I met with Board Chair Marilyn Wall and Fred Charlton, Fire Chief, today. Had a good conversation. They were appreciative that we reached out to them and started the conversation early, so that was good. The city's dinner is hosted by us on February 28th. We've already reserved the Stone Cliff Inn. We looked for the Airy, but it was already booked out, kind of limited in event space around here. We're going to have a no-host social. We'll provide some appetizers for folks, and then the presentation will be Pleasant Valley North Carver comp plan, unless there's other suggestions. And we can certainly change the presentation if you would like. National League of Cities Conference in March. I have all the travel dates except for Mayor Ellis and Councilor Sherman.
Oh,
just just out of curiosity when everyone is going.
I'm in for the full meal deal, so.
I leave on Saturday the 9th, I believe it is.
Saturday.
And come back on Wednesday.
Saturday to Wednesday, that's when I'm going.
I'm just doing the full dates that Gabe looked for us.
Okay. And then, is anyone attending the university seminars on Sunday? Did you already?
I have not booked them yet.
Okay, just send those to Gay and she can get those signed up for you.
Yep.
Finally, League of Oregon Cities, City Day at the Capitol is January 24th. We've been aligning meetings with all of our legislators. There's still a few more spots to fill. But who's all going? Can you remind me? So if there's carpool opportunities, we can ride together and go down there. And that's all I have.
Okay. We might as well do our council comments, get that out of the way. So we're not here forever. Councilor Willoughby, would you like to start?
Sure. I was gone most of the month of December on various vacations, so back and rested and ready to get back at it. Coming up, I have the Happy Valley Business Alliance coming up, and I will be at League of Oregon Cities State Capitol Day. That's everything coming up.
Okay, thank you. Councilor Sherman.
Let's see, I attended a couple of the North Clackamas Parks and Rec District outreach meetings that occurred last month. Had a little party for the Public Works group that was a very, very good bunch of really good people that we appreciate. Yesterday's swearing-in ceremony for District 51. And then coming up, we've got Parks Advisory Committee, State of the College Address, North Clackamas Community College. We've got a few more NCPRD outreach meetings coming up, and then I am planning on, obviously, NLC, but I'm not going to make it to the State of the Oregon Salem. That's it.
Thank you. Councilor Drake.
Yeah, mostly it's, of course, been pretty quiet because of the holidays, but we had a West Advisory Committee meeting last week, and then the elected forum for West is at the end of the month.
Okay.
And so at that West Advisory Committee meeting, they really kind of went over their presentations because they had some new members. So it was a lot about what we're doing, how the finance stuff works, all that kind of stuff. They didn't really talk about some new things. But the group, the advisory committee, wants to meet, I think, almost monthly for a while to kind of get everything up to speed. We talked about the stuff going on in Kellogg Sewer Plant, the improvements they're making there. So that took up quite a bit of time. And also, they offered to council to tour the Tri-City Sewer Plant. I know you're going to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So anybody's interested in touring the Tri-Cities plan, can certainly do that as well.
Okay, thank you. Gonna just kind of hit the highlights here. I did the Operation Santa, which I know Council Gold was there, and that was a good deal there. I attended the Metro Mayor's meeting the other day at Hayden's over in Tualatin. Got to meet a lot of mayors over there and kind of figure out what's going on. That's pretty much what I've been doing, is just getting up to speed on where we're at on this on these things. And so that's, you know, meeting with our department today was good, and so that's what I've been kind of doing. So that's about it. Councilor, City Manager Tuck had something else he wanted to say.
Yeah, one other item. Schedule-wise, NCPRD has scheduled two open houses, one on Tuesday the 22nd at 6:30 at Rock Creek Middle School. So if you can attend that, that'd be great. Last time they did not give the opportunity for Happy Valley people to speak, so maybe at this open house they will. And then they scheduled another one Wednesday the 23rd at 6:30 at Rex Putnam High School. So we've got that information out to the Parks Advisory Committee. I know they had a conflict at the last open house that was held at Rock Creek Middle School, so I'm anticipating more members will show up then and tell our side of the story.
Yeah, unfortunately, I can't attend. I've got a meeting with the community center on the 22nd. On the 23rd, I've signed up to feed the homeless. So after I feed the homeless, I could probably come out.
I'll be at both of those.
You'll be at which one?
I'll be at both.
Oh. Anyone else? Okay, let's adjourn and get ready for the council meeting. Thank you.
Thank you.